The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus grew up in a family that went to the Passover festival each year. It was in this environment of faithful adherence to the law that Jesus grew into spiritual maturity and an understanding of his identity and mission. I begin reading at verse 41. Now every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, he went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May be seated. And I ask that the children come forward for the children's sermon.
It's an oath of story,
but I think it's worth sharing and telling again. So here, hold this. A long, long time ago, there was a candy maker, and it was Christmas time, and this candy maker wanted to make something very special that when someone came in his shop, it would remind them of Jesus. So he thought about the Christmas story a long time, and he finally decided, okay, I'm going to use things in the story in my candy. And the first thing he thought about was what the wise men brought. Now, y'all just did that story. So what did the wise men bring?
Present.
What were they?
Gold.
Gold.
Silver.
Frankincense and myrrh. Well, frankincense is myrrh, and myrrh is something that they burn. They don't eat it. So he decided to use something that people did eat and like. He used peppermint, and he mixed it all up, and he started with a white stick. Well, that looked pretty good. And then he made it so that it was a J. And that stood for
Jesus.
So he had that, but as he turned it over, it looked like
a
shepherd's staff. That's right. The shepherd used it, and he remembered that Jesus said he was the good shepherd and that we are his sheep. So now we had Jesus, the shepherd's staff, but it looked so plain, and he thought about what Jesus had done for us. What did he do?
He
died on the cross to save our sins. You are absolutely correct. So he took red and he put stripes, because Jesus had stripes on him when he died for us. Now his candy cane was complete, and his story for Jesus was there with him. Isn't that neat?
Yes.
Every time you see a candy cane, I want you to think about what Jesus has done for us. Okay. Oh, every one of you are playing, aren't you? Well, put your candy cane down and get your belt.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There was a couple who was having trouble in their marriage, and so they decided to go to a marriage counselor. And what came out in that session was a picture of their marriage. The husband expected several things from his wife. He expected her to have good food and to have the meals prepared on time and to make sure the house was clean and to do the other household chores. And that was fine with the wife. That seemed to work out all right. But the problem was is that when the wife did do those expectations, when she fulfilled them right, he showed his affection to her. But if dinner was a little late, or if she was trying a new recipe and the food just didn't taste all that good, or if it had been a hectic day and she wasn't able to clean the house or finish with her chores, her husband showed her no affection. And what the wife was telling the counselor was, I need to know that he loves me. Even though that I don't do things perfectly, I still need to know that he loves me. What the wife was asking for was unconditional love. God is in the business of unconditional love. That's who he is. God is love. God is unconditional love. And there's numerous stories throughout the Bible that talk about God's unconditional love. One of those stories is actually the one that we have today. It's a story of unconditional love between Jesus and his parents. And you've heard this story before. As they went to the Passover, they enjoyed it for several days, maybe a week, and started heading home. Jesus wasn't with his family. When Mary and Joseph came back, they searched for him for 3 days, and they finally found him. You could hear their concern and their anxiety in the questions that they ask him. Jesus, where have you been? Why'd you cause us to worry? Jesus' answer to them was a bit strange to them. He said, why did you look for me? Don't you know that I would be in my Father's house? They did not understand that. But the interesting thing about the story then is that's it. They went on back to Nazareth. There was no shouting or screaming. There was no harsh punishment. They simply loved their son. Jesus loved them and showed them respect. Even though they didn't necessarily understand each other or they didn't understand Jesus, when he made that comment, I must be in my Father's house. But there would come a time when Jesus would leave house and home and family and go out and do ministry and do the work of salvation. Unconditional love. It cannot be bought. It cannot be bargained for. It can't be worked for. There is no small print in the contract. God simply loves us. God doesn't always necessarily like the things that we do, but God still loves us. And he wants us to be his children. He wants us to be a part of his family. Another good story about unconditional love is that Good Friday, that whole dynamic between Peter and Jesus. After Jesus was arrested, Peter was still wondering what's going on with Jesus. He had to follow, but he followed at a safe distance. But when Peter was recognized, he denied Jesus, not just once, not just twice, but three times in that one night. And when he realized what he had done, he felt ashamed. He felt terrible. He felt awful of what he had done. But do you remember what Jesus told him when Jesus saw Peter again after Jesus' resurrection? Jesus said to Peter, "Shalom," or rather, "Be at peace, Peter." Jesus didn't say, "Why did you run out on me in my time of need?" Or Jesus didn't say, "You are not worthy to follow me." He didn't tell Peter to get away. "I don't want to see you again." Rather, he said, "Be at peace, Peter. Be at peace." There was that unconditional love that even though Peter had denied Jesus, even though the disciples had run away, even though Peter had abandoned Jesus, Jesus was ready to forgive. He was still ready to claim Peter as one of his own. Unconditional love. That's what God has for us as well. God's love is great. Again, we don't always do the things that God calls us to do. We are not perfect. We live in sin. But God still loves us. He doesn't necessarily love the things that we do, but God still loves us. He continues to protect us, to guide us, to give us the things that we need here on this earth. He continues to call us back to him when we wander away. And as we are called to God in his unconditional love, hopefully we too will increase in wisdom and in divine and human favor. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.